Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. It's almost like we can't slip a piece of paper between the two blocks of stone, you know, fulfilling the Sabbath day. And here we come to the first day service here on the ear and in the irid. So here we're refreshing the board right here, brothers and sisters, and those who's on the board, hopefully they'll call in, tune in, and hopefully those of you all listening, and hopefully listening on the Rastafari Israelites as well. So we have fulfilled the reading here for this 32nd degree of I&I sabbatical study for Shaban Bihar. Now, Bihar literally directly means on mountain. Let's just touch on this right here. Hold on for one moment, brothers and sisters. Just refreshing the board right here. Let's see if this thing can refresh and open up so we can continue right here with the reading and feeding and also with the reasoning, right? In other words, let's try to unpack what we have here. What have we read? What have we heard? How does it apply? Is it applicable? You know, and these are other areas that are in addition to what one's often looking at the Bible, look at religion or spirituality or like a kind of God thing that's just out there. But we got a lot of practical applications. There's enough practical applications right here in this Torah reading and feeding. And here's a very good example. And because we have a lunar year right here, it's not doubled up. Like normally, usually it's doubled up right here. So Melkamehud, blessed first day here for the Sunday service, here for the first day service on the ear and in the irid. So here, let's ride up with the evening psalm, right? The evening psalm appointed for the first day. That's Psalm 24. And how Psalm 24 right here connects as well with this Torah reading and feeding. The sabbatical year. We have the theme of the sabbatical year and the jubilee. Right, and the Jubilee Torah, reminding I and I that ultimately everything belongs to Elohim, belongs to the Creator, the blameless Creator, the true good, the true God. Everything belongs to the blameless Creator. And reminding us that we, in reality, really don't own. We're maybe caretakers. Remember, my earthly said something, you know, in church one time. You know, like I was a son that, you know, when I first heard this, it was kind of strange to me, but it kind of bespeaks a little bit of what's being said right here, that she said, like, you know, this is a child that the Lord had, you know, lent to her. I said, lent? You know, I was a young child. I was like, lent? But it goes along the principle that we really don't own anything. You know, we might have even children. You know, we might have things and you know, this, but we don't own it. We don't own it. I think that's an important reminder. So what is our real relationship, you know, to those things or even relationships, right, as caretakers? Instead, what we have here is from the Psalms, Psalm 24, and this is very interesting here in the season. Here we have a year where it's a leap year. And because it's a leap year, you know, the Torah reading and feedings are singular. So it gives us more opportunity. You know, we have more opportunity right here to get into some of the details. So we're seeking to take that opportunity and unpack. So we're going to go through the items here in this 32nd, and it segues right here to the 33rd degree of our sabbatical studies, Bihukotai. First thing first is a name. We say Bihar. The pointing is Bihar. That means on a mountain. But the full from the scripture, this is the fifth word here in this distinctive word in the Torah reading and feeding, the full is Bihar Sinai. Bihar, on Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai. If it was Bahar, it'll be on the Mount Sinai. Bahar. It's like Bereshit. Some might say Bereshit. But, you know, if you really don't know, you really don't know, and it's good to study to really learn and grow. It is Bereshit. It's actually in beginning. Some even bring out in the English in a beginning. But what's being pointed to in the very beginning of HaTorah with the key word Bereshit is the significance of wisdom. of Chokmah in the Hebrew, Chokmah, right? Or some might say Chokmah, Chokmah, right? The Hebrew, Sophia, Tibet, wisdom. Compare, contrast Genesis chapter 1 with Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 in the Hebrew, because the Hebrew has the key, right? We get to the source code in the Hebrew, and we have that wisdom, Chokmah, is the Reishith. So there, Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon the king, has given us a key to the true and the proper understanding of even the pointing and even what's being said and even the divine feminine in the beginning. Now here, in speaking about the Sabbath, the Shabbat, even from the Lekhadodi, you know, and the TJIF, we went through it a little bit more so in the previous TJIF, bringing out the feminine aspect of the Shabbat, right? Lekhadodi, Likrat Kala, come, my dear friend, to meet the Kala, to meet the bride. And also the reasons found even in, I think, Jeremiah, for the captivity or the exile of those inhabitants of the southern kingdom of Yehuda and Judah in Babylon, Persia and Babylon for roughly 70 years, and then that return, the return that we get in the scripts in Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and to restore that liberty. That the word says, because the Sabbath, because the land did not enjoy her Sabbath, because the Sabbath and the sabbatical and the Shemitah was not observed, therefore they did not give the land any rest. The land did not get her rest. So it's that she and her aspect that we have to put into the context, as in the beginning, he created man, humanity, in his image, and male and female, he created them. Also, the psalm for the fourth of the counting of the Omer Shabbat, the Shabbat just right here from yesterday, we can say, the Sabbath, that was the fourth of the seven Sabbaths that we are commanded to count as we trod forward, onward and upward to Shabuot. Shabuot in the old Afro-Semitic pointing, the Shabuot. Modern Hebrew, they'll say Shavuot. But basically, a Shavua or a Shabua refers to the week. So we say Shabua Tov. Shabua Tov is a tried traditional greeting, Shabua. So after the Sabbath is fulfilled, right, we greet one another with a good strong to come, a good 7 days, a good week, right, a good 7 days, Shabua. So here we have counted 28 days. We have 28 days, and here for this first day, we're beginning the fifth of the seven Shabuas, 7 weeks, as we are approaching harvest, the Feast of Weeks, Shabuot, the harvest feast, also known as Pentecoste, Pentecost, referring to the 50th day. So I think most ones and ones, hopefully the Haberim understand that, the 7x7 principle right there, the 2x7 clashing principle right there. And with that right there, since we're beginning off here, in the count of the fifth of the seven, culture. That's what we're saying, the Hebrew culture. And right here, 2x7 clash from the Rastafari Israelites known as culture. Here.
taking over land and ground. And sometimes I ride on bus X82.
The T7s for the harvest time, and also we have the 27s. So we have the 27s for the harvest, the 27s, the 27s, 7 times 7, 49 days, as we count Shavuos, Shavuot, weeks. And then here in the 32nd degree of the sabbatical study, Behar Sinai on Mount Sinai, we are counting the week of years. So every 7 years is a week according to the Jubilee stipulation. So here for the first day service, sabbatical year, Jubilee, the Jubilee direction instruction, reminding I and I that everything belongs to Yahweh. As we have Psalm 24, Mizmor Kaf Dalet, Lid David Mizmor, a psalm of David a chant, Isis, La Yahuwah Haaretz, Umeloah. The earth is Jehovah's, is Yahweh, he who be, who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name, and the fullness thereof, U Meloah, 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 Meloah is all of her fullness, all of her fullness, U Meloah. So the earth is he who be, who he be's, and all of her fullness, Tevel. With Yoshbei Bah, with Yoshbei Tevel, the Tevel. Now the Tevel, where it has world in the translation, the Tevel, a Hebraic word that refers to the inhabitable portions. But there are some portions of this earthly plane that are not really habitable, right? It's speaking about the inhabitable portions known as the Tevel. The Tevel, modern Hebrew, the Tevel. Tevel, ancient Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, the Tevel. Tevel, referring to the world or the inhabitable portions of the world, with and Yoshbei. Yoshbei, those who Yashab. Yashab. Yashab means to sit or to dwell. Literally to sit, but like to dwell. Those who sit, those who dwelling, the dwelling in that sense. With Yoshbei and the dwellers, Baha. 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 Then the dwellers in her, the dwellers in her. So what we learn right here, even from this 32nd degree of the sabbatical study, is that we don't really own anything. At best and at blessed, we are caretakers. Instead, the earth is Yahweh's and all she contains. La Yahuwah Haaretz u'meloaha. Psalm 24. The first verse, and right here, for the first day, that is the standing psalm for the evening. And the evening precedes the morning. So that means that, for example, Friday Eve, you know, is the beginning of the Shabbat. So even right here, after the Shabbat goes through, right, and that day is over, we enter into the period of time known as the Eve. That's what's meant when we say the evening psalm. So basically, it's a psalm for the first day. It was chanted in the Heikal on the first day. But in this Western Gentile society, in this world, we're in the world, not of the world, but in the world, it's easy to get caught up in the trap of materialism, schism, not recognizing that balance, right, between the spiritual right, and the material, right? We get caught up so much that we become unconscious, right? And in the unconscious way, not being fully conscious of what's really going on, we in the world, but being too much like the world, we start to measure our quality of life or liberty based on the value of our possessions, based on the value of what we possess, or even the abundance of possessions. But the principle right here is that a person cannot really truly own things because La Yahuwah Ha'aret U'Meloa Tebel U'Yoshbe Baha. The earth is Jehovah's and all of her fullness, the world, and they who dwell in her. So here, make we ride up right here with the evening psalm here for the first day. Melkam and Ehud, Chabarim, Melkam in them heart, Melkam, beautifully good, Ehud, beautifully good, first day, the Ehud, that's how we count the days. So this whole idea of like the first day is Sunday is strictly a Western Greco-Roman, Western Gentile kind of a thing, right? But here we say this here from the Liturgy of His Majesty. Let's share this right here, brothers and sisters, trying to upgrade some of these boards right here. You know, technology, technology. But here what is said from His Majesty, from the Liturgy of His Majesty here on the first day. Like to share this by our tribe right here on Sundays or the first day.
Sosenya be'elete hud yemibal. Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkin yasara senvetina yakabram sohulu sadikno. ወደ እግዚአብሔር አምልኮት የገባ ከምእመናንና ይለየኝ የሆነ ፈጽሞ አይበል። ጽድቅን የሰራ ሰንበትን ያከበረም ሰው ሁሉ ጻድቅ ነው። Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer, Ekasi Aber Cha Rastafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senbet.
Yes. Honors Jairus, and get Jah bless, prosper. Yes, I. Like His Majesty, we go from observing the Shabbat, right, and then on the first day to that attendance, you know, with the brothers and sisters, you know. Yes, I. So here, let's ride up with this psalm right here. I want to share this. What's this tune right here? Sister Charmaine. Do we still have it on the board? When she said, like, hold a rest. Let's see, hold a rest. Let's just bring this up right here. Love this little tune. It's a short tune. If anybody got the longer version of it, please share this. Sister Charmaine right here. She does a variation on the Hold Afresh, right? The Hold Afresh tune right there. Yeah, she's called this Hold the Rest.
Do you have Massive? Are you ready?
I want to hear it, say yes. I want to hear it, say yes.
No, tell me Massive, are you ready?
I want to hear it, say yes. I want to hear it, say yes.
Because you're coming this morning and you know what I'm saying. Evening time.
Beta Israel, are you ready? Yes, I hold a rest. May God bless. Right here, here, here. Psalm 24.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Yes.
For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name... shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts.
Lechayim tovim, ule shalom, to a good life, a good liberty. Lechayim tovim, good tovim, good life, good liberty. Ule shalom, and for peace. Yes, I, Rastafari. Here, here, looking to the east. Yes, I, heal up our brothers and sisters, Beta Israel worldwide, to the east, the west, the north, the south. Jah bless. Baruch Hashem. Here, here, Queen Makeda. Makeda here with clean hands. The evening psalm for the first day in the Hebrew and also in the English. Here the chant. Rise up the chant.
You have
Yes, yes, yes. Niki Kapayin. Ooh, bar le bab. Niki, clean, innocent hands. The hands, we work with our hands. And so here in this Torah reading and feeding is speaking about the clean work of the hands, deeds, the doing of our hands, especially regarding even the land right here, here, here. So let's touch on the positive and the negative commands. I'd like to address some of the positive and negative commands. Some say, you know, about the 42 negative confessions, and try to compare a confession or confessions and commandments because they don't understand. There's a difference for a confession and a commandment. Here in HaTorah, we have both positive and negative commands. We have positive and negative confessions. Here in this Torah reading and feeding for Behar, right, according to the Sefer HaChinuk, we have 7 positive and 17 negative commandments in this Torah reading and feeding. So just going over this right here, let's go through some of the positive and the negative command. There are 7 positive, basically, thou shalt do, and 17 negative, thou shalt not. Firstly, foremostly, picking up Leviticus chapter 25, verse 4, not to work the land during the 7th year. That's a negative command right there, not to work the land during the 7th year, the sabbatical year. Leviticus 25 and 4, same verse, not to work with trees to produce fruit during that year. Not to work with trees to produce fruit during that year. Leviticus 25 and 5, not to reap crops that grow wild that year, the sabbatical year, in the normal manner or the usual manner as with the 6 previous years. Leviticus 25 and 5, same verse. Another negative command, not to gather grapes that grow wild that year in the normal manner, the normal way, or as with the 6 other years. 6 years doing the work, 7th year, Shabbat, cease and desist, rest. Leviticus 25 and 8, the Sanhedrin must count 7 groups of 7 years. Now, the Sanhedrin is like the assembly, We're getting back to the roots, the assembly. They're the elders and those in the community that are responsible. We can even link that with the Kohanim, the priests, and even Halloween, since they have charge of the sanctuary as well as the scrolls. But the Sanhedrin would be that assembly, the ancient assembly. Like the elders and others who are responsible ones in the community, they must count 7 groups of 7 years. Leviticus 25 and 9, to blow the shofar. So here's a positive command, to blow the shofar, the ram's horn, on the 10th of the 7th month, the 7th moon, known as Tishrei. Nowadays, after the Babylonian captivity, it began to be known as Tishrei. Before, according to Torah, it is the 7th month. So to blow the shofar, the ram's horn, on the 10th day of the 7th month, the 7th moon, to free the servants, you know, to free the servants or, quote, slaves. You don't really have slaves, but that's a word people always like to, they like to say slave more than what the scripture actually says, servant. It says that we should not have anyone work with rigor, especially our brother. That is the Slav idea, right? But anyway, the Sanhedrin, the assembly, must sanctify the 50th year, the Yobel, the Jubilee year. Remember the Kiddush, sanctify, word, sound, and power, proclaim. Leviticus 25 and 10. Not to work the soil during the 50th year. Not to work the Adama, the soil, in the 50th year. Leviticus 25, 11. Negative command there. Another negative command right here. Not to reap in the normal manner or as we would in the 6 other years, that which grows wild in the 50th year, that which grows wild in the Yobel, the Jubilee year. Leviticus 25, 11. Not to pick grapes that grew wild in the normal manner, in the usual manner as the 6, you say, regular years, not in the Shemitah year, or rather not in the sabbatical year, in the 50th year. Leviticus 25, 11. Leviticus 25:14 says, here's a positive, right, a positive command here from Leviticus 25:14 to buy and sell according to HaTorah, according to the direction, instruction, according to the covenant-keeping terms and conditions, to buy and sell according to Torah, Jah's direction, instruction, Leviticus 25:14. Negative command right here, not to overcharge or underpay for an article, for a thing, an article, something. Not to overcharge one and not to underpay for an article, according to Leviticus 25:14. Negative command, not to insult or harm anybody, anyone with words. Yes, that's in this Torah reading and feeding. Leviticus 25:17. We'll go over this again just to compare and contrast and read it for ourselves. But not to insult or harm anyone with words, debarim, words, word sound, power. Leviticus 25:17. Negative command here, not to sell the land in Israel, not to sell any of the promised land indefinitely, according to Leviticus 25:23. Leviticus 25:24 says, to carry out the Torot, the direction instructions of sold family properties, Leviticus 25:24. In Leviticus 25:29, to carry out the Torot, the direction instructions concerning dwelling houses in walled cities, in cities that have walls, to carry out the Torot, direction instruction of dwelling houses in walled cities, Leviticus 25:29. Negative command right here, not to sell the fields, but they shall remain the Levites before and after the Yobel, the Jubilee year, according to Leviticus 25:34. Leviticus 25:37, not to lend money with interest, with usury. Not to lend money with usury. Full of context, not to lend to any fellow Israelite money with interest. Leviticus 25:37. Not to have a Hebrew servant do like menial, you know, demeaning labor. Not to have a Hebrew servant, a fellow Hebrew, a fellow Israelite, do menial, demeaning, or slavery kind of labor. Leviticus 25:39. Not to sell a Hebrew servant, an Israelite, as a slave or as one who is dehumanized as slaves and slaves were. Leviticus 25:42. Not to work a Hebrew servant, an Israelite, down pressively, wrong them, defraud them. Leviticus 25:43. Of the other nations, and some say this would have applied to the Kanaanu, the Canaanite servants, must be kept forever. In other words, there are other servants of other nations, right, who would be kept in perpetuity. Leviticus 25:46. Now, of course, on these areas, we're going to look at it today, and of course, people may have their feelings and emotions, but I always like to compare. It's the same way as we mentioned even the Commonwealth concerning England, you know, like when they had what they call the Windrush thing in Jamaica. You know what I mean? Enough of them yachties, they were more than happy to go to the mother country and to serve the mother country and to be loyal to the mother country forever. Canaanite, Kanaanu, and other nations who are servants, right, would be in employ in perpetuity, Leviticus 25:46. But the same rule applies not to even demean them as well, as we find in HaTorah. Leviticus 25:53 says not to allow a non-Israelite to work or slave a Hebrew servant or an Israelite servant wrongly, downpressively, according to Leviticus 25:53. And lastly, but not leastly, not to bow down to smooth stone or to an erected stone, not to bow down to like an obelisk or a smooth stone, right? Leviticus 26, right, and 1. So here we have, right, we're going to read through it. We have 7 positive thou shalt do and 17 negative commandments in this Torah reading and feeding. 7 positive commands, in other words, thou shalt do, what you shall do, and 17, what you shall not do, what you shall not do. Let's write up right here and go over, since this is a time opportunity that we don't have in so-called usual years where this Torah portion is doubled up. Let us continue right here, here, here. Now here we're looking at the TPV, the Torah portion volume 3 right here as a point of reference. So here in the inner biblical, this is something called the inner biblical interpretation. The word in Hebrew for interpretation is targum. Is targum. The corresponding word in Amharic, Afro-Semitically speaking, is tergum, tergum. So here in the inner biblical scriptural interpretation, Leviticus chapter 25. First item right here is Yom HaKippurim. Why is the first item here Yom HaKippurim, which is a day of the atonement? Now we make a distinction once again. Other Yehudi, other Jews say and have got into the habit of saying Yom Kippur. In studying HaTorah, we the ones lost now found, Beta Israel of the West, we find that in the Torah, it says Yom HaKippurim, not Yom Kippur, right? Yom means day Kippur of a atonement or a covering. But in Torah, it says the day, the Yom. Also, Yom is found in is Ethiopic too. Just a point of order so people can see the oneness here. Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonement, the day of the coverings. This is like ancient Yisrael's, you say, the insurance policy. Leviticus chapter 25, the Ivine insurance policy. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. If you notice, mainly here in this Torah reading and feeding, we basically had one chapter. Just to note that here, this is why in regular years they're doubled up. But here in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10, this refers to the feast, the festival of Yom HaKippurim. Here it refers to the 6 of the 7 Mo'edei Yahuwah, the Mo'edim, the appointments, right? The feast, the festivals of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the festival of Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonement. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, in the Hebrew, we say scriptures that some call Tanakh. You like the Tanakh. Well, Tanakh was a Canaanite town. I don't know why you're saying that, y'all. Anyway, in the Hebrew scripture, right, the Hebrew Bible, Yom Kippur, quote, end quote, strong quote, end quote there, is called the Day of the Atonement or Yom HaKippurim. And I remember Kippur, Kapar, when we trace it back to the natural type, it goes to that black tar, that pitch, right? That Noah, according to scripture, said to have used to make the ark, right? The ark of Noah, the Merkaba, right, of Noah, to make it like watertight, so to speak, the boat of Noah, right? So just think about that right there. Right, in light of our black Lord and Savior Yeshua HaMashiach, that even Kippur, like they say, Kapar or Kafir, right, a substance that is used for insulation and preservation that is black. I just find that to be very interesting. Think about that. Another word could have been used for atonement, but the word here is HaKippurim, the coverings. But recall that Noah, right, on the outside of the boat, the inside, he put that Kapar, that kafar, that covering, that black tar pitch, and also Yochabed, Jah's glory. That was the name of Moshe's mother, Moses, his mother's, Moshe's mother's, her Hebrew name, Yochabed. And remember the basket, right, that she covered over with tar, right, that black pitch, that kafar, so that the boat in which the basket, so to speak, the teba, in which she put Moshe would be not airtight, but like watertight, so it will not sink. So think about that aspect, right, from the natural aspect, right, the phi cycle to the meta-phi cycle aspect. Day of the Atonement in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, within the Hebrew scriptures. Also, Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Atonement, is called a Sabbath of Solemn Rest, according to many of the translators and their Targum, the KJV is the English Targum, right? A Sabbath of Solemn Rest. But in the Hebrew, it's known as Shabbat, Shabbaton. A Shabbat, a Sabbath of Sabbaths, right? The Shabbat, Shabbaton. We have this in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 31. Also in the Hebrew, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32. Interesting, 23:32 is a mirror image right there. But it's also known Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Coverings, of the Atonement. It's also known as a Mikra Kodesh, Mikra. Now, Kara means to call. Kara means to recite. Kara means to read. Kara means to call. Kara means to recite. Kara means to read. Also, Kara means if you're calling someone, Kara, in the sense you also can be calling them, it specifies in the sense of calling one by name, right? So the Mikra, right, Kodesh, is translated as a holy convocation. Often based on the Hebrew meaning, we bring it out as an outcall, a set-apart outcall gathering. A set apart, Kodesh, set apart to make holy or set apart, and the Mikra, calling out, convocation sense. So a set apart, outcall gathering, where ones are being called out. So even in that word there, we have the primary sense in the Brit Chadasha of what is called, according to the translations, as church. So when we hear Stephen in Acts of the Apostles refer to the tabernacle in the wilderness as the church in the wilderness, this also brings out the Hebraic senses of the words that many times get lost in translation. So the Mikra Kodesh. So Yom Kippur is known as Yom HaKippurim in the Hebrew scriptures, is known as a Shabbat Shabbaton, a Sabbath of Sabbath, and is also known as a Mikra Kodesh, Mikra, convocation, outcall, calling, Kodesh, set apart, according to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27, and Bamidbar, Numbers, the fourth book of Moshe, chapter 29, verse 7. Now, much as Yom HaKippurim, right, on the 10th day of the seventh month that is also referred to now, after the Babylonian captivity, it's often called by Yehudim as Tishri. But in the Torah, it is mentioned as the seventh month. It precedes Yom HaKippurim, the day of the coverings of the atonement. It precedes the feast, the festival, the Moed of Sukkot, of tabernacles, of tabernacle, Sukkot, of booths, of huts, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the seventh moon. We refer to Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 to 6. It speaks of a period of time, an appointed period of time, an observation of time. So we sanctify the time as well, a period of time, starting on the 10th, right, on the 10th, right, of the month, right, of Abib. Abib is the first month, the first moon, Abib. We had Pesach, preparatory to the feast, the festival, the appointment, Pesach, of Passover, on the 15th day of the first month, the first moon, that according to HaTorah, is referred to as Abib. And we went into the etymology there, Ethiopically there, Abib, Abebe. Abebe means a flower, to sprout. Abeba means a flower, as when we say Adis, Abeba, as when also it said Tel Abib among the modern Eastern European Ashkenazim, they will say Tel Aviv, Aviv. But if you look in Torah, it says Abib. So we have Abib is the barley. And the root idea and linguistically of Abib, Abebe, right? Abeba, Adis, Abeba has to do with the growing, the sprouting, the blossoming. And it is the barley harvest that grows quickest. The barley harvest grows quickest. And the barley often was used to feed the animals, right? To feed the animals. So even from that right there with the barley crop being that first crop because it sprouts up, Abebe, the Abib, Abebe, and it grows so quickly, shows us to care for our animals and the chayim, the living creatures, right, even before I and I selves, to care for the animals because he provides that food even for the animals before our food grows, because this is why we're counting seven Shabbats, for the fulfillment of the full harvest. And we're commanded not to eat any bread or parched corn until it is all properly grown. So there's an order, a sense of order right here, here, here. But what's interesting about the sabbatical, as well as the Jubilee, here in this Torah reading and feeding Behar, by Behar on the Mount, Behar Sinai, is the connection in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. Let's bring this out right here, and we'll go to the Chumash, right? So some of y'all might be reading the KJV, which is a good, you know, a good starting point, but we have to get to the source code, to the Hebrew. So verses 8 to 10, it says this right here, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. It says, "And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years to thee, seven times 7 years. And there shall be to thee the days of seven Sabbaths of years, even 49 years, verse 9. Then shalt thou make proclamation with the blast of the horn on the 10th day of the 7th moon of the 7th month. In the day of the atonement shall y'all proclaim, in the Yom HaKippurim, shall ye y'all, I and I all proclaim, make proclamation with the horn, right, with the shofar, with the ram's horn throughout all your land." In other words, that's how we would ring the alarm, right, the blast of the ram's horn. Verse 10, "And ye and y'all shall hallow," that means sanctify, set apart, hallow, "shall sanctify," just to bring this out into Hebrew, Wikidashtem, the ancient Afro-Semitic pointing, modern Hebrew, they'll say it's something like Wikidashtem. In the ancient pointing, Wikidashtem, Kadash, to holy, to sanctify, set apart. "And y'all shall hallow," or set apart, "the 50th, the 50th year, Wikidashtem, 8 Shana ha-chemishin, the chemishin, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof." In a sense, this is where the Gentiles have their whole, this whole mythology they have around the Liberty Bell, like ringing the Liberty Bell. From that sense of the Gentiles ringing the bell, they got that right from this right here, that blowing of the ram's horn, that proclaiming, what they talk about, proclaiming liberty. So it says, "Wikidashtem eta shanata ha-chemashima shana ua kiratem deror, 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 freedom, deror, ba'aret, in the land, Likol, to all, Yoshbeha, Yoshbeha." Hear that word even from the 24th Psalm? Yoshbe Baha, those who dwell in her, Here it says, Ba'aretz lekola yoshbeha, in the land for all who dwell, right, who dwell in her, right, yobel, yobel, jubilee, yobel he, yobel he. Now, yobel is jubilee, and he is the Hebrew pronoun for she, yobel he, right, yobel she, tehiyeh, tehiyeh, she shall be. So the jubilee is she too. But look at how our ancestors were real mother uckers. All the violation, they overworked the land, right? She, they didn't keep the Shabbat, right? Especially the Shabbat for the land, the sabbatical land, she, right? They also, as we have from Jeremiah in the Haftarah of the Jeremiah read. Right, as well. I'd like to pick up on that right here so we can connect the dots right here. But here it says, Ba'aret lekola yoshbeha yobela hiya tehiyeh lakem. It shall be a jubilee to you all. It shall be a jubilee to y'all, to all of Aina yobel he. She shall be a jubilee. Jubilee, she, yobel he. Tehiyeh, tehiyeh, she shall haya, haya, she shall be, she shall become. Yobel hiya tehiyeh lakem, lakem, for kem, for all of y'all. This is speaking to y'all in that sense, not to one, but to many. And ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye and y'all shall return every man to his family, with Shabtem, and return your each man, il ahuzato, ahuzato, to what he ahaz, to what he hold, ahaz, 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 in the Hebrew, like means to seize, to hold, and here in ahuzato, ahuzato, ahuzato is his possession. So here where it says, with Shabtem, and y'all shall return each, a man, ill to Ahuzato, to his possession, with each, and man, ill to Misha Pachto, to his Mishpacha, his Mishpacha, to his family circle, to his familial relations, with each, ill Misha Pachto, Tashubu. Tashubu, y'all shall shab shubu, y'all shall return him to his family. So what do we have here, Habarim? We have seven Sabbaths of year from verse 8. Seven cycles of 7 years. So let's pay attention to cycles. I'd like to bring this forward. We know it's at the LOJS.org. I'd like to find what that document is named. Hopefully we'll be able to share that with the eye. On the cycles. I think it's actually named something on the cycle, right? And give thanks, Brother Ariel, right, from Aropa, you know, for that reminder right there. The cycles, speaking about the cycles and the number seven and number seven and the cycles. So what we have is cycles within a cycle. In sacred geometry, what we have here is the fractal, right, and how that fractal, right, from that small pattern, when we reduplicate the pattern, it makes a bigger pattern. So basically what we have here in HaTorah, even in the giving of the direction instruction, is both pi and phi. Seven cycles of 7 years. It is not permissible to observe seven consecutive years as sabbatical and the following year as jubilee. Again, it is not permissible to observe seven consecutive years as sabbatical and the following year as the yobel. Each sabbatical year, proper time at its proper Iowa, in its proper season, as you say, in season, out of season, in its proper time. So we have the principle being built up right here, even from the previous Torah reading and feeding sabbatical studies on the seven. We had seven weeks, we count for Shavuot, for harvest, And here there are seven cycles of 7 years. There shall be, the key word, there shall be, there shall become 49 years. 7 times 7 equals 49. We have the 49 with the 7 Shabbat of weeks. And here we have the 49 with the Jubilee years, right? 49 years. So if the sabbatical years had been neglected, as we clearly see from Jeremiah, right? As we clearly see from Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32, that the sabbatical years, right, were not kept, right, that the Jubilee years were not kept, and of course, enough other things were not kept, and that is what led to the southern kingdom, the Judahite, the tribe of Judah kingdom, and the inhabitants going into captivity in Persia and Babylon for those 70 years, as Jehovah so says, so that the land, so that she, the land, the earth, Mother Earth, so to speak, but that the earth could enjoy her Shabbat. So with the Judahites and the Israelites in Babylon, it came through the prophet Jeremiah that the reason for this is you're in captivity so that the earth can rest and refresh. Very interesting. So here in Jeremiah chapter 32, at verse 23, where it says, and they came in and possessed it. They possessed her. Let's scroll right here. We're in Jeremiah. Here's what the principle says about rightly dividing the word of truth. Here a little, there a little. So we still are in Leviticus chapter 25, but here we're scrolling to the Haftarah, so to reason and connect the dots, right, within the Torah reading and feeding. And how does the prophet reading and feeding illuminate or even give the prophet I see, the prophecy to I and I and we. So here, where shall we begin right here in Jeremiah 32? Let's begin from verse 21 where it says, and speaking to Jehovah, and Jehovah speaking to he who be, we be, this bring forth thy people, Amekah Yisrael, out of the land of Mitzrayim, with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. And yes, I'm saying yes, and with great terror, because some Kemetics, you know, the Kemetics going hard, they're going ham, trying to go ham, salami and bacon, but you don't understand where you're mistaken. So he brought I and I people out with great terror, yeah, with dread, because ones didn't want to let Jah people go so easily, not even let us go for 3 days to worship, right? And then confiscated all of our goods and all of our things, everything that we had honestly worked for. Anyway, verse 22, and gavest them this land, and gavest Jah people this land. This is Jeremiah chapter 32 at verse 22, which thou besware to their fathers to give them, to the Hebrew Trinity, the triunity of patriarchs, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov. This is what it means, that thou, the I, Hashem, did swear to our patriarchs to give Ina a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 23, and they came in, and Amo Yisrael came into the land, and they possessed it. They possessed her. They possess her, the land. And they hearken, they shema'ad not. Wello, shama'u. Wello, we say shema, Yisrael. But here, lo, shama'u. They did not shama'u. They did not hear, right? They did not hear. They did not obey. But they what? But they hearken not to thy voice. They hearken not to thy voice. With lo shamu be koleka, to call all, to the call of ka, to the I voice, be koleka. They did not hearken, they did not obey to thy voice, neither walked, tried it, walked out, the halakha, walking out, living out in Torateka. Ubi Torateka. right? Toratika. Now, there's an interesting note right here. We look at the Hebrew here in Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah 32 and 23. And there's a keti. The keti, right, is what is written, right? And what is written is plural concerning in thy law, in thy law. What is written in the keti is plural, right? We have uadit torotika, according to what is written in the Hebrew glyphs, the Asherite glyphs right here, u-be-tor-ro-te-ka. Now, there's the kere. The kere is what is said. So many, when they say it, they will say u-be-tor-toratika. Toratika is singular in thy Torah. But what is written is u-be-torotika, the torot, which is direction, instruction. So the keti, right, the keti, what is written is plural. And this expresses ha-Torah, the direction, instruction, in its many details, in its many details, as we're looking at some of the details here in this Shabbat Behar Sinai. So it says that they came in, Jah people came in, they possessed her, they possessed the land, and but they hearkened not. But they didn't shema. They didn't hearken. They didn't obey to Jah's voice. This reminds me of what happened when Hashem spoke the 10 words, the Esaret Debarim, and how the people in Exodus chapter 20, after he spoke the 10 words, how they said to Moshe, hey, Moshe, be our mediator. Let Hashem speak to you because we are afraid to hear his voice. If we hear his voice, we die. So they requested that Moshe be their mediator. So in the same way as they had expressed that they could not hear, they were afraid to hear Jehovah's voice as his voice spoke the 10 words, the Har Sinai. We have here in Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 32, verse 23, after they came in and possessed her, the land. But they hearken not to thy voice, neither walked in thy directions, instructions. Ulo shamu bekoleka, uabir tor rotika, lo halaku. So when we hear about the halaka, right, the halaka, some say, oh, that's the white Jews thing. No, it's not. Stop that. Stop that. Continue to study and grow. Many of the European and the other Jews, right, in accepting to whatever extent they have accepted Yehudimet and Judaism to be observant, they have gathered even the ancient writings and they've taken it as their own. This is what we must do with these same writings and study to shew ourselves approved. So here where it says, neither walked, notice the language, neither walked in thy Torah. Uabir torotika lo halako. They did not halak it. They didn't walk it out. They heard it. They may have talked about it. But basically, as we would say, they didn't live it, right? They have done nothing. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil. Thou hast caused all this evil to do what? Ha-ra'a. Call ha-ra'a. Hazot, cause all this evil to befall them, to fall upon them. Just pointing this out right here, one of the primary connections here with this Torah reading and feeding is the business. We're speaking about Jah people's business. Here we're speaking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is buying a piece of land. And even in his act of buying a piece of land, by what he is doing, he's walking it out. He is working it out. And he's also showing them, as he's revealing to them, the Israelites, the prophecy, that the reason for your captivity is because you'll have harmed and hurt Jah's good land. And you'll also have been unfaithful in the terms and condition of the covenant. So think about this for a moment. Jah says he cares about this land. He cares about the earth, but in particular about a particular land. right? Especially that land between the two rivers, between the river of Egypt, the river of Ethiopia, and the river Euphrates, but in particular here to the land grant that he had given the children of Israel upon their exiting from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. So here, going to ride up a little bit more right here, brothers and sisters. But let's touch on this right here for the Sabbath day meditation, meditation. Here in the Royal Amharic, we have Psalm 24 on the Sabbath meditation, a.k.a. Africa Flame.
مزمور 23 بقنف 24 بمجمريا سنبت يداويت مزمور مدرنا مولاوا لاغزيابيهرنا عالمم بارسوام يميورغول ارسو بباهروچ مسرطوالنا بفساشوچم ماطنطوالنا ودغزيابيهر ترارا مان يوطال بقدسناو سفرا مان يقوم اجوچو ينصو لبوم نصو يهونه نفسوني لكنتو يالا نفسا لبالن جراون بشنغلا يالماي ارسو كاكزيابير زند بركتن كمدهاني تو عملاك مهرتني كبلا ايشي تولد درسوني متفلقنا ياكوبين عملاك تيتي متفلق انان تمخوانن توچ بروچن كفتو يزلالم دجوچي كفتو يكبر منقوسي قبا يكبر نقوس ما نو اكزيابير نو درتو النهاية እግዚአብሔር ነው በሰልፍ ኃይል እናንተ መኳንንቶች በሮችን ክፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆችም ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉስ ይግባ የክብር ንጉስ ማን ነው የጭፍሮች አምላክ እግዚአብሔር እርሱ የክብር ንጉስ ነው
ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ
ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው ክብር ንጉስ ነው In the Amharic, her fullness is Mulawa, and in the Hebrew is Umeloa. Umeloa, Umelawa. Interesting, right there. But here, let's continue to grind on this one right here, because there's a lot of important reasonings here, unpacking this right here. Some of the reasoning, discussion, and reasoning, come, make a reason here on this Torah reading and feeding. One, topic one, let's touch on a couple of reasonments right here. How important do you think is the idea of a sabbatical? We say Rastafari sabbatical, but how important is the idea of a sabbatical? And based on hopefully what one is learning and growing in grace and the knowledge right here, is your idea of a sabbatical, because we hear this term being used, like, oh yeah, so-and-so went on sabbatical, so forth and so on the sabbatical. But how important is the idea of a, quote, sabbatical to you? And what the sabbatical is basically the rest. Sabbatical, the Shabbat also means to cease and desist. So Sabbath, from the Hebrew root, has two main ideas in it. One is to rest, and one is to cease and desist, right? To cease and desist. In what ways do you observe time? How do I and I observe time? Let's think about observing time. How do you observe time? In what ways do you observe time to rest? Do you observe time to rest and to trust in Hashem and Ha'ilahim in the Almighty's provision and Yahuwah Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah the Providers, Jehovah Iri in his provision for your life and your liberty? I say Iri right there because the word in the Hebrew, we say Yireh. Yireh, from another way of saying it, is like Iri. So Jehovah Iri, Yireh means to see to it, to provide for it. So in what ways do you observe time to rest and trust in Jehovah's provision, his provider for your life and your liberty? That's a discussion, a reasonment, point one. Secondarily, in Parshat Amor, which was the previous Shavuah, we had Sabbath say, Parshat Amor for Shabbat Amor. The Torah commands, John's direction instruction commands, that we count 49 days leading from Pesach, from the Passover, the first of the three times in the year, to the holiday, the holy day of Shavuot, to the second of the three times in the year where all the males of Yisrael are to appear in the place that Hashem sets Hashem, in the place that Jehovah sets his name. So in the previous Torah reading and feeding, we had the commandment to count 49 days leading from Passover to the holiday of Shavuot, to the Feast of Weeks. And in Parashat Behar, this Torah reading and feeding, HaTorah, Jah's direction instruction, it commands that we count 49 years leading to Yobel, to Yobel, to the Jubilee year. So let's reason, come with reason, and meditate on this. Reason both the differences, what are the differences here, and the similarities here between these two imperatives, between these two mitzvot, these two commandments, namely the commandment from the previous, from Shabbat Amor, to count 49 days from Pesach to Shavuot, and in this Parashat Behar for Shabbat Behar, the Torah direction instruction that we count 49 years leading to Yobel, to the Jubilee year. So let's reason on the differences. Let's make I and I reason on the similarity between these two, we say, consecutive commandments, imperatives. Come, make a reason. Thirdly, why do you think that the Yobel year, the Jubilee year, why do you think that it began on Yom HaKippurim? Why do you think the Jubilee year began on the Day of the Atonement, rather than, say, Rosh Hashanah, or what's known in the Torah as Yom Teruah? In other words, why does the Jubilee year begin with the sixth of the seven feasts and festivals, rather than, say, maybe the fifth, since the fifth one, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, which is called Rosh Hashanah, begins the third of the three times in the year? Or it could have began on Sukkot, on tabernacles or booths. So why do you think the Jubilee year, the connection of the Jubilee year, begins with Yom HaKippurim, with the Day of Atonement, rather than, for example, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, the Day of the Blast, the Day of Trumpets? Fourthly, come, make I and I reason for this Behar 32nd degree of our sabbatical studies, another reasoning topic right here, the fourth one. What connection do you see, theme, fight, between the sabbatical day and the sabbatical year? Do you cite any connection between the sabbatical day, the sabbatical day, and the sabbatical year? So we're looking at the day sabbatically and the year sabbatically. What connection do you see? How do both of these, the sabbatical day and the sabbatical year, the sabbatical yom, and the sabbatical shana, how do they relate to the truth that Ha'el, Ha'el, the Almighty, is our creator, Boreinu, and he is also Yahuwah Yireh, I and I provider? Come, make I and I reason. Next reasonment right here. There's a verse from Shabbat Behar in this portion, this reading and feeding, that says, it's Leviticus 25:38. It says, I, he who be your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to give you the land of Canaan to be your Elohim. Leviticus 25:38. This verse here from Behar. I, he who be who he be, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to give you the land of Canaan, the lowland, to be your Elohim. Now, the Midrash, the study, it interprets to mean that those who live outside the Eretz Yisrael, those who live outside, let's say, we're expanding the borders to the Torah borders, right, which also includes the southern kingdom, right, even we say Judah land or even Tobia, right? But those who live outside of the promised land are, quote, as if they had no God. So based on this particular verse, Leviticus 25:38, where Jehovah says that I be he who be who be your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim to give you land of Canaan to be your Elohim, Leviticus 25:38. The Midrash interprets this to mean that those who live outside of the promised land are, quote, as if they had no Elohim. Indeed, many Torot, many direction instructions of Ha Torah, of the direction instruction, can only be observed while living in the promised land, living in the Eretz Yisrael, among the Jah people community, among Jah people's community, among Yisrael and the Hebrew and the, you could say, the Judaic, you know, community. Also under a theocracy, So let's discuss how the practice of our faith, of our emunah, in the Hebrew we say faith emunah, coming from the Amenah root, emunah, right? In the Hebrew, the Amharic, we say imnet, emunah, faith, haimanot, the living faith. Let's reason on how the practice, they say practice makes perfect, how the practice of our faith is both connected to and also independent of a community of faith. How is our practice of faith, of Jah's faith, of even the faith of the King of Kings, Christ, how is it both connected to and how is it independent of a community of the Haimanot, a community of the faith, of the living faith? Come, make a reason. The sixth topic of discussion and reasonment here, the laws, the Torah, the direction instructions that we have here in Behar regarding the sale of land, and in particular, the prohibition of selling it, quote, into perpetuity. This is radical. The Torah, the directions regarding the sale of land, in particular, the prohibition, the big Jah no-no of selling any land or renting any land out forever into perpetuity. This is radical. Land cannot be sold, but only leased. This is the principle here. Land cannot be sold, and we say sold like sold forever. No, land cannot be sold forever. The promised land cannot be sold forever. If it's sold, the selling is basically renting, right? And the context of the sale being renting can be found by studying the text, particularly the Hebrew text. Land cannot be sold, but only leased. Or in other words, only rented. Well, basically, they're leased/rented. That guaranteed the prevention of complete poverty. That principle there, it guaranteed the prevention of complete poverty, and it provided a check against the consolidation of power in the hands of a few. This is a key. This is radical here because we don't even have this anywhere. Like even in America, some places, you know, some people buy land, but really the government basically owns all the land among the Gentiles. Did you know? The government basically owns all the land. But we have something completely opposite in John's direction instruction concerning the sale of land and the prohibition of selling it forever, forever, ever into perpetuity. This is a radical principle here that land cannot be sold but only leased or rented. And this in and of itself, it guaranteed prevention, right? It prevented any idea of complete poverty. So that even if one, you know, got in debt or trouble and they had land, right, they can basically utilize that land or they can work it off, but they will still have that land. So the land is rented out for a while, you know what I mean, for anywhere from 48 to 49 years. But that land will return to their family. So even if they had to lease out the land, like the Chinese did with Hong Kong for 99 years, you know, it still returns to the original title holder. Also provided a check against the consolidation of power. How would the consolidation of power happen? By the ownership of the land. You see what I'm saying? By the owner, like, for example, the government owns all the land in America, so the government has all the power, basically. Yeah, ones might think they own land until the government says, eminent domain, right? But there's no such thing here, right? So there's a check against the consolidation of power in the hands of a few. So with many ones and ones owning land, being descendants of the 12 sons of Yaakov Yisrael, that means that power was never in a few ones' hands, but power was in the hand truly we have, and the principle here, we have a true commonwealth. This is the Yisrael, the Beta Israel commonwealth right here, here, here. So let's reason on these implications, two of them. Let's take two of the implications here. The implications both of the Shemitah, right, the release, Shemitah year, the release, and the Yobel Torot, the direction instruction of Jubilee, and also how they would create a just and a loving society. How, if these principles were carried out truly and duly, reminds me of that Bobby Hemmett clip that we had on the board. Are you truly and duly prepared? Right? So if we truly and duly live it out, walk it out, it helps to create just and justice and also love and brotherly love in our society, in Jah people society, even the Lion of Judah society. Yes, I, Rastafari. Hey, here, make me discuss. Come, make me reason. Just for ones and ones in the listening, we got 32 minutes counting down right here, here, here. 32 minutes counting down before the grace period. And there's a little more right here. But we're taking the opportunity here in the leap year, right, since we have the Torah portions that are usually doubled up, we have the opportunity to go in, seeing we have it in a singularity right here. So the seventh topic, reasonment on this Bahar Rastafari reasonment here on Shabbat Bahar. Ha'el, the power of the Almighty said that we, I and I, are to be, quote, strangers and sojourners, end quote. You pick up on that? Where Jehovah said that we, that I and I are to be, are to become what? Strangers and sojourners with him in this world. Where do we have this, Chabarim? In Leviticus 25:23. Let's go to the law, as it says in Isaiah, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not like this, it's because there's no illumination, there's no light in them. So let's go to the light of the Torah. Here, here, here. Leviticus 25, verse 23, it says, and the land shall not be sold in perpetuity forever, ever, ever. and the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. So here in Leviticus 25:23, earth's rightful ruler, Jehovah, is the landlord, right, of this whole earthly plane. All the earth is his, belong to he who be who he be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, for the land is mine. For y'all are strangers and settlers. Settlers, bringing out the sojourner a little more better from the Hebrew. For y'all are strangers and settlers with me. For y'all are strangers, we are strangers and settlers with the Most High. That's just a whole meditation. That's a whole medi right there, Chaburim. Ain't it? Now, this is a paradoxical phrase, isn't it? It's like a paradoxical phrase. It's a paradox here, right? Since a gir, stranger, right, gir, is one who is, how can we say, just passing through. A gir, the Hebrew gir, is like one who's passing through, like a visitor. Or like even a tourist, right? Like a visitor or a tourist. Here, let's pull up the Hebrew right here, right? So the Hebrew of this verse, Weharet lo ti makir. We and haaret, and the land lo, no, not, ti makir, to be sold, litz mitum, in perpetuity, litz mitum. Kili, for me, right? Haaretz, the land, for me, the land, for my is the land, for the land is mine. Ki, for li, for me. Haaretz, the land. Ki, for gerim. There we go. For gerim, for gears, or like strangers, singular is gear. In plural is gerim. So he's speaking to all of us. He's speaking to all of us in the plurality. Ki gerim, for strangers. We toshabim, and settlers, KJV, settlers, sojourners, right, sojourners, toshabim, atem, you all. And I speak to a crowd of, say, even men, and I say to the brethren, I say, Atem, I'm saying y'all, all of y'all, Atem, Imadi, for y'all are with me. You know, we say Immanuel, right? Imanu means with us. Imanu, Imadi means with me. So I say, Atem, Imadi. I'm saying, like, all of y'all with me. Like, we're going somewhere, and I say, Atem, Imadi, all of y'all with me. So what John is saying to we, he's saying, Ki gerim witoshabim, Atem, Imadi, for gerim. So let's break this down. What is gerim? Gerim, in its translation here, as stranger. But a ger is one who is just passing through. A ger is like a visitor or a tourist. While the word Toshav, modern Hebrew, they'll say Toshava. Ancient Afro-Asiatic pointing, Toshaba. A Toshav, as we have in Toshabim, settler or sojourner, a Toshav is one who is a resident. A Toshav, and it comes from Yashav. Yashav is the root, to sit. Very, very interesting. We have the evening psalm for the first day, Psalm 24, where it says Yoshbe Baha, right, and all of those who dwell in her. And here we have Toshab, where Jehovah says, y'all are Gerim and Toshabim, translated as strangers and sojourners. Looking at the Hebrew word, it's like, well, y'all are like visitors. Y'all are like ones and ones passing through. Y'all are like tourists. And Toshabim, y'all are like residents, y'all are like settlers, y'all are like citizens. So the word Toshab in the Hebrew can be a resident, Toshab, one who is seat up. Let me say seat up. As Rastafari, come. Make with seat up. Toshab, Yashab, right? Is like a resident, is like a settler, but in the nation use. So when we talk about Yisrael as a nation, a Toshab is a citizen. A Toshab is used as a citizen. So this is why it's particularly paradoxical when Hashem says that we are to be gerim with toshabim. We are to be strangers and sojourners. We are to be like ones and ones passing through, a visitor, a tourist, and like residents, settlers, citizens. But how can someone be both a visitor and a resident of a place? This is the paradox here. How can you be both a visitor, right, and then you live there? I'm a visitor, but I live here. But how can you be both a visitor and a resident of a place? Or how can you be a stranger and a citizen at the same time, at one and the same Iowa? How can one pass through a place he is said to dwell in? That's another way of asking the question based on what's here. This is why it says study to shew himself approved. This is why it says seek Yahweh. Doresh is when we study his revealed revelation, even HaTorah, and these questions come up. Well, how can we pass through a place and we be said to dwell there? The phrase, it seems, Chabarim, to suggest that Ha'el, the Almighty, he settles among those who are exiles in this world, but makes himself strange to those who settle here. Again, you catch that? Bringing this out. The phrase here of gerim, that we are gerim, right? Gerim and toshabim, that we are strangers and sojourners with him. The phrase here, it seems to suggest that Hashem, that Jehovah, he, quote, settles. He settles, he who be, who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, he settles among those who are exiles, who trod through this world as though we are exiles, right, in the Olam Hazeh, in this world, Olam Hazeh. But he makes himself, he will make himself strange to those who, quote, settle, who settle here in this world, Olam Hazeh, right, instead of looking at Olam Haba, instead of looking at the world, the liberty to come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, yes, as it is in Shemayim. Here, brothers and sisters, we have one, two, three, four more topics of reasoning and discussion. Any one of these is good, you know, and we look forward as we go forward, you know, as we get a basic foundation to pick up on any one of these topical themes, and some of the Chabarim, the brothers and sisters, just come make with reason on it. What are we getting out of it? What questions we still have in it? Here, reasoning number 8, right? The scriptures, they state that, according to Psalm 89, verse 2, the world is built on chesed. Chesed is sometimes translated as mercy, chesed as love or loving kindness, one of the attributes of Yahweh, of he who be, who he be, who he be the chesed, he be the chassid, he be the loving kind one. So the scripture states in Psalm 89, verse 2, that the world is built on chesed. Now, some of the ancient sages have said that the reason for the prohibition of charging interest on a loan is because such, quote, usury, it creates personal gain from what should be an act of chesed, an act of kindness, an act of love, an act of kindness. It should be brotherly love. This is why the Torah, the scripture says that we are not to lend money to our brother, to a fellow Yisraeli Israelite, one who's of the house of Beta Israel, on interest. So therefore, when we compare and contrast what Psalm 89, verse 2 says, that the world is built on chesed, and then the reasonment among the ancient sages of HaTorah, they said that the reason for the prohibition of charging interest on a loan is because of usury, that this usury equals interest. It's an old term, modern term, older term. Interest equals usury. That this interest or usury, what does it create? It creates personal gain from what should be an act of chesed, an act of love, an act of kindness, even and especially an act of brotherly love. Call Beta Yisrael Arabim Zebazeh. All of Yisrael is responsible one for the other. They also explain that the most important thing we have in life, in this liberty, is time. Again, the most important thing we have in this life, in this liberty, is time. This reminds me of the wonderful counselor of our father, our king of Kanamawi, Haile Selassie, speaking to the same point concerning time. The most important thing that we have in this life, in this liberty, is time. And time is what puts everything into perspective. In truth, we should be sad or not so happy at every passing moment, for each one brings us closer and closer and to the day of reckoning. But someone who lends money, especially to the Habarim, to the brothers, when Jah has clearly commanded us in the terms and condition of our covenant not to do so, someone who lends money and charges interest has the exact opposite feeling. Think about it. Someone who lends money and charges interest has a diametrically opposite feeling. Every second that passes brings him joy. Why? Because he is making more money, right, based on the interest on his money. Most Western economies, the Gentiles, the Goyim, are built, the international community, the world, right, is built on the idea of extending credit to others and then charging them interest, an exorbitant interest on the little measly loan. Now, let's discuss and make I and I reason on the ethics. What is the ethics? Is there any ethics of charging interest on loans? And did Rabbeinu Yeshua, did I and I Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Yeshua HaMashiach, how did he regard the money changers? Let's think about the money changers. In fact, Rabbeinu speaks more in the Brit Chadasha. He uses money and we could say earthly types more than anything else to explain even spiritual truths. Even when he said that one who is unfaithful in the least, he was talking about money. He said money is the least, is unfaithful in the greatest. And if you're unfaithful in what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? It's kind of interesting right there how he goes into that. That's Leviticus, not Leviticus, the L caught me right there. That is Luke. I think about Leviticus, but actually it's Luke. Luke chapter 16, right? In chapter 16 where he speaks about money being the least, right? And how we cannot serve Elohim, the power, the source, and Mammon, money or wealth, like material, economic, financial things. We can't serve both. But here's the key. In the wisdom of the Ruach HaKadosh, we can't serve Elohim and money and mammon, but we are to serve Elohim with our money and with our mammon and how we use our money according to the terms and conditions of the covenant of life and liberty. Now, here I have in my note right here, I have Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, right? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Give me a moment right here just to bring up Isaiah Isaiah chapter 30, right? Chapter 30, verse 15. Some of y'all I know is already going there, and we're looking at the time we have here. So call in, call in, call in, or hopefully check out the Rastafari Israelites. Chapter 30, verse 15. Give me a moment, Khabarim. Chapter 30, verse 15. You got it? Okay, read chapter 30, verse 15. Here, here, here. This is in the section, exhortation to turn to Ha'adon, to the sovereign, for help against Sennacherib. Foreshadowing of Kingdom Baraka, the foreshadowing of the Kingdom Baraka, the Kingdom Blessing. So here in Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 30, at verse 15, it says this here, for thus saith Ha'adon Yahweh, the Holy One, HaKadosh of Yisrael. It says, in returning and rest shall ye y'all be saved. Check it, check it, check it. In returning, that's even speaking of the Aliyah, coming out of her, coming out of her, just returning and rest, right? Returning and rest shall ye, shall y'all, shall I and I all be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, your strength. And ye y'all would not chant. John says, and y'all would not, and we would not. He tells us what to do, but we won't do it. And then we wonder, well, where is God? God is it's all fairy tales, all the Bible, that's not real. But we haven't even done a lick of it. And under the slave driver, the enemy, the nations, we've tried to do everything to be accepted in his so-so society. Ain't that shite, right? But here, this is actually leading to the ninth reasonment right here on the law of Shemitah. I saw it in my notes, thought it was attached to the eighth point concerning the chesed and the lending of money and the money changers part. Here, the ninth reasonment here for Behar Rastafari reasoning, the law of the Shemitah, the law of release, is meant to attest, right, that Ha'el, Ha'el is Ha'bore, that the Almighty is the Creator who truly and duly, quote, owns, end quote, he truly owns all things. In fact, Shehakola Nehiyeh B'Dabaro, that all things was created through his word. So, of course, he owns all things because he created all things through his word. Surrendering our so-called control or our so-called ownership of our so-called personal property and renouncing whatever outstanding debts are owed us, this takes considerable bitachon, in the Hebrew bitachon. Bitachon, when you say betach is trust. Betach in Hebrew is trust. And bitachon is a way of saying trust in the sense of faith. This requires a sense of trusting faith. What do you think you own? And prove it. Even right now, if we say, I own this, I own that, right? And you got the paperwork, right? You got the paperwork on your ownership. What is the issuing authority? Oh, you have a copyright? Yeah, I got this copyright. My book is copyrighted in the Library of Congress. Well, the Library of Congress is going to have to go on and on forever, and we know that they can't go on forever because there's a judgment coming on. You know, it can't go on. So everything that we think we own, right, what you think you own in this life, and how do you balance the sense of ownership with the idea of surrender? How do we balance that idea of ownership? We can clearly see from the corresponding reading in Jeremiah that the Israelites, they received all of his yea and amen, but they didn't keep their yea and amen. And this is what led to the exile. This is what led to the captivity. It's almost like I and I and we. Some people will say, oh, look at the other Jews and the Jews and this Jews and that. They're going rah, 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 rah. So then why don't you study, why don't you? Why don't you just try to recognize, well, what's the secret? But for us right here, 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 this is what we are called, come out of her. And so we're coming into Torah, right? So here we have the H986. Look up the H986. You can actually probably go on to, you could Google it as you put the H and 986 all as one. So no space between the H and 986. Put it together as one. And we have this word confidence, confidence, bitachon. Bitachon is confidence. Bitachon can be interpreted as faith. Bitachon also is brought out in translation as hope, expectation. Here we have three verses in the Hebrew scripture, 2 Kings 18:19, and Rav Shaka said to them, speak y'all now to Hezekiah, thus saith, the great king, the king of Assyria, what bitachon is this wherein thou trustest? So what Rav Shaka was to say, because the king, King Hezekiah was trusting in Jehovah and wasn't going along with the okey-doke. So Rav Shaka, you know, he basically said, ma ha bitachon hazeh asher ba tachta. Basically he said, what confidence, bitachon, ma bitachon. So bitachon is translated and brought out as trust, confidence, hope. Trust, confidence, hope, or expectation. It comes from the root batach. Batach in the Hebrew is to trust, right, to be secure. It has also a sense of bold, like I have a boldness, right, to be trustworthy, right, to be almost so secure that you might even become careless. This is an interesting aspect of it. So when it says, like, the careless Ethiopians, you know, in the scripture it says that the careless Ethiopians, to use that example, or when it says, ye careless woman who are at ease, right? The word that's underlying it is the bitachon. In other words, they have so much confidence, so much sure, like, you know, when somebody's sure, like, what me worry, right? That's the sense. So it can have a good context, and it can also have a bad context, but it's all according to the spirit of the text. When we go to Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, the preacher, we have Ecclesiastes 9 and 4 where it reads, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Ecclesiastes 9 and 4. So that word hope is the bitachon. That word hope is the bitachon. Full of verse right here. Ki mi asher yechubar illa kol ha chayim yesh bitachon ki le kalev chay hu atov min ha arye hamet. For to him who is joined to all the living, whoever, yechubar, that is joined, that is chabar, like we say, chabarim, shalom chabarim, from chabar. Chabar in the Hebrew means to unite, to join, to bind together, to be joined, to be coupled, to be in league, a sense of heaping up, to have fellowship with, to be compact. And there's a alternative sense of it to be a charmer, because it also has a sense of the twofold, the Hebrew two truths. So words sometimes will have two kind of contexts to it. One is to unite, chaber, right? Chaberim, to be joined, associates. Then the next is to tie magic charms, to charm. So it has another kind of a sense right there, but the usual sense as it's used right here, 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 to join oneself to make an alliance, to be in league, right, to be in league together, to be allied, to be one together. So here, again, Ecclesiastes 9 and 4, ki mi asher yechubar il, right, il to call all ha-chayim, to all the living. Yesh. Yesh. Yesh means existence, being existence. Like if I say yesh li, I say like there, it is for me. Like something exists. Yesh. So yesh, right, is has a sense of being, existence, substance, yesh. Another way of bringing it out in the Hebrew is like there is, or in a sense of there are. So the word yesh has to do with exist entity, yesh, right? So here it says, ki mi asher yichubar ila kol ha-chayim, for who it is who is joined yichubar il to call all ha-chayim, to all the living, yesh. Yesh bitachon, yesh bitachon. There is hope. There is, we can say, expectation. There is bitachon. There is confidence, confidence, right? Confident in the victory, the bitachon, in the victory of good over evil. Last part of the verse here, it says, ki for lechelev, lechelev. Ki lechaleb, lekaleb, lekaleb, of a dog, chai, of a living dog, for of a living dog, ki lekaleb chai, who, he, oh, he is good, mean from ha'ariyeh, he is good from the lion, ha'mate, the lion that is mate, the lion that is dead. So that's the second of the three places we have bitachon. And lastly, but leastly, we have Yeshaya. Basically, it's a repetition in the prophet Yeshaya of what we have in 2 Kings 18 and 19. In Yeshaya 36 and 4, it says, and Rabshakeh said to them, say, y'all now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, confidence, bitachon, is this wherein thou batachta, and thou trust. In other words, what confidence is this in that you are confident? So a more better translation, since bitachon, the batach is at both words, confidence, bitachon, and trusteth from the batach, which is the root of bitachon. So what Rabshakeh is having said to the king, to Hezekiah, is what confidence is this in that you are confident. So bringing this out here from the ninth reasoning point on this Shabbat Behar on the Torah of the Shemitah is meant to attest that Ha'el, Ha'bore, that the Almighty is the creator who truly owns all things. And surrendering our control or ownership of personal property and renouncing whatever outstanding debts may be owed to us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is how we do it in season, out of season. This takes considerable bitachon. It's almost like in modern Hebrew, it's almost like saying like, you got bitachon, bitachon. It's like you have balls in that sense. You have real confidence. You have real confidence. As Negusin against the King Messiah says, confidence in the victory of good over evil. So what do you think you own in this life, and how do you balance that sense of ownership with the idea of release, with the idea of Shemitah, of releasing it? Here, 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 looking at the board right here, we got 2 minutes, y'all, before we go into the last Iowa right here, here, here. And though we're only going into one chapter, it takes some time. Sometimes one chapter, it might take a couple of Iowas to really, you know, go into the detail of it. While you might have another area of scripture that's a couple of chapters, right, but it's basically going over and reinforcing the details of one point. We have many and vital points right here that is being instructed to the Israelites while they are still outside of the land, right? That's why that promised land audio right here that we have shared, let's see if we can bring this up here. Okay, 90 seconds, y'all, 90 seconds, y'all. Right, 90 seconds. So we're in the 90-second mark right here. Calling, 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 if you will, right here. 515-602-9761, 515-602-9761. But here, here, here.
There's a lot of work to be done. Oh, gosh. In the promised land.
We got two more topics of reasonment right here. This is all just from one chapter right here from the Bihar, right? Which is speaking about the land, speaking about real estate, it's speaking about debt cancellation, right? Debt collection, debt cancellation, labor, labor laws, right? And basically speaking about peace and love and with family, how we can have peace and love with family if we do it Jah way. The thing is, here, 10, 10, 10, right? 10 seconds, and right here, the 10th subject right here for reasonment. The sages, they had interpreted the commandments, the mitzvah, in Leviticus 25 and 17 that says, you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your Elohim. You shall fear your source. You shall fear your power. Let's bring this up right here, here, here. Rightly dividing the word right here. Got the English, got the Chumash here. All right, but let's go to Leviticus 25 and 17. We just want to hear what KJV from low degrees. That's what we mean, low degrees to high degrees. The high degrees is getting to the source code, is getting to the Hebrew, of course. But, you know, step by step. So here we have Leviticus chapter 25. Let's scroll over here, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here a little, there a little, 25 and 17. What's the English read right here? The English read is, you shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear Eloheka, thy power. Ki ani Yahuwah Elohekem, for I be he who be who he be, your Elohim. So here in the KJV it says, y'all shall not therefore oppress. I and I are asked if I say downpress one another. But the Hebrew sense is wrong one another. And it, when it says wrong, is wronging one another in a financial transaction. That's a sin. That's an ukri, right? One would have to give a sacrifice or something or pay off a debt plus the fifth, which is 20%. You know, you should not wrong one another. So it says oppress. It's wrong, but it's not just wrong like you beat up your brother, your neighbor. No, you did business and you defrauded. So another way of bringing out, you shall not oppress or downpress, you shall not wrong or defraud one another, but you shall respect, you shall reverence your Elohim. As, quote, you should not hurt the feelings of one another, but you shall respect the Almighty. In other words, do good for your brother because you reverence Jehovah. It's saying that the strength of our relationship with even our brother, you know, our fellow Israelite, is not based on like, well, you respect me, I respect you, you do good for me, I do. No, 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 get off of that crap. You know, because the wrongdoer will be punished. Right, even if it's called Yisrael, as Israel was sent into captivity, as the Judahites had to go into captivity. We did the wrong, we had to do the punishment. But hurting another person through verbal, so some bring this out as not just with financial transaction or business, but also in other ways. Hurting another person through verbal or emotional abuse is called ona'at. Ona'at debat. Devarim, devarim, ona'at, 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 debarim, ona'at, debarim. One who publicly embarrasses another, so the person's, some people brought this out like this, so the person's color changes. You know, of course you can see this come from some of the Europeans, but either they blush or they turn ashen. But, you know, black people can blush and they can turn ashen, right? They can lose color and turn pale. In fact, often when people are in America or England for a long period of time, right? Or they go travel to the Caribbean, right? Or down south or to Africa or to some other tropical sunny part of the world, right? That shows that even in America, you know, or these northern countries, we can lose our color. But this is how some people like to explain it, that if you cause the other person to, like, change color, right, one who publicly embarrassed another person, right, is judged as if he has spilled blood. Treating others with sensitivity and with respect is a way of honoring Hashem. So some people think, like, well, I respect this brother, and he's my Israelite brother, and he showed me respect. No, I seek to try not to downpress or speak ill of my fellows, though sometimes it's just very difficult because I seek to respect Elohim. And he is the one that said that do this. Jah is saying by signing off, I be he who be, we be your Elohim. He says basically do this not because your brother or the other going to do it, but do this if you respect me, then do this in respect and reverence of me. And failure to observe the first half of the verse will lead to failure to observe the second half of the verse. So let's discuss the idea and the principle that respect or honor in that sense, the basic level of respect or reverence or honor, it precedes HaTorah. It precedes the direction instruction. Just had to go and look at this section here again in Leviticus 25 and 17. If this is in the second aliyah for Bereshit from verse 14. Where it says, and if thou sellest aught to thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. And according to the number of years of the fruits shall he sell to thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell to thee. Then we come to verse 17, where it says, y'all shall not therefore, because of what is written, therefore, even before, heretofore, downpress one another. But thou shalt reverence Eloheka, thy source, thy Elohim. Kiani Yahuwah Elohekem, for I be he who be, we be your Elohim. Verse 18, wherefore ye y'all shall do my statutes. You know, when you hear in law, well, that's a statute. There's a statute of limitation, different statutes. These are ours. And keep my judgments. Jah's judgments are I and I judgments. And do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. If we had only done so, we would have never had to experience so for 400 plus years or so. Something to think about. So let's reason on how respect, reverence, precedes HaTorah. In other words, reverence, in that sense, precedes Jah's direction instruction. So if you're a disrespectful person without any honor, then the Torah will only really confuse you. As it confused a lot of the Kemeticists that try to go ham on I and I fellow brother and sister Israelite. 11th reasoning point right here. For the final, we have like 11 topics of discussion that come out of this 32nd degree of I and I sabbatical study for Shabbat Behar. Here is the 11th, the negative command. As we mentioned, we have negative and positive commands in HaTorah. We have negative and positive confessions in Torah. Right? Now, of what has been counted as 613 commandments, of which some say, if I'm correct, 248 are negative and 365 are positive. Right? But be that as it may, even if 42 negative confessions in some way, right, where somebody's just making a confession for the afterlife, which had nothing to do with what Jah was given to Moses to give to us for this life. You know, But some would say, well, you got the negative confessions, you know, that's where Moses got his Torah. I never really witnessed such idiocy amongst those who I am tempted to call my people. You know, such idiocy. You know, ones who have barely studied the Metuneter or can't read the hieroglyphic glyphs to read a single sentence or recognize five or four consecutive characters in the glyphs. And they definitely haven't gotten past the King James Version of the Bible either. But be that as it may, the negative command where it says, you shall not deceive your fellow man. There is a negative command, you shall not deceive your fellow man. I know this is interesting, right? But wait, it's a negative command. Yeah. Implies the positive duty. What this negative command implies, what's implicated, is the positive duty to be truthful. So it says, you shall not deceive your fellow man. Yes, that's counted as a negative command. But what's implied here is a positive duty and responsibility to be truthful, full of truth to your fellow man. Being honest with others, it implies that we are being honest with ourselves. You ever heard one reminding me of this? Some people think, you know, the thief think everybody's a thief. So being honest, right, you know, being honest with others, this implies that we are being honest with ourselves. Likewise, deceiving others implies ultimately that we are firstly and foremostly deceiving I selves. So right here, make I and I reason. Come, make a reason.
There's a lot of work to be done. Oh God, give the promised land.
Yes, I will. That's Godfrey Lewis right here for classic roots tune right here. Let me bring down the sound a little bit. Yeah, here. Promised Land. This is Promised Land. Godfrey Lewis. Here, relax. Say la moment.
I and I are able
Yes, 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 Godfrey Lewis. Yes, I, Godfrey Lewis, right there, Promised Land, a classic tune. Look at the land grant, and the Promised Land. What's the rules of regulation for I and I in the land? Here. We had Psalm 103, right, for the fourth of the seven Shabuas, Psalm 103. I'd like to just share a little bit more right there, you know, on the psalm, because the meaning in it definitely resonates right here. Once again, a reminder of the psalm corresponding with Shabbat Behar, where we've counted the fourth of the seven Sabbaths complete. Here. Blessed be the Almighty.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Hear Midrash, a study on today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here the order of Malachias, Tzedek, Melchizedek, the righteous king, even the king of kings, Dormali, Kamal, the Haile Selassie, the Eastern Negev, Ethiopia, Moa, Anbesa, Zain Negev, Yehuda. So here. Amidrai, Psalm Drai,
Rabbi, Etshem Kadisho, Kadisho, Kadisho. These words of David, bless he who be we be, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, Here, Midrash, a study here on today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Malkiah's Erek, Mizmor Kof Gimel. Mizmor Kof Gamel Kof Gimel, Psalm 103. Psalm C-I-I-I, here, a midrash, a study on today's psalm. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me and all that is within I. Bless his holy name. Here, first verse, Aleph verse, Le David of David. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, recall like Ravai et Hashem Kadisho of David, Le David. Bless he who be who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Barki, speaking to she, Barki nafshi. Bless, command to bless when speaking to she. Barki nafshi, nafshi, my soul, my psyche. Et Yahuwah, eti Yahuwah, bless he who be who he be, O my soul. We call Kravai, and all we call, and all Kravai, and all that is within I, we call Kravai. Et Hashem Kadisho, bless his holy name, the Shem Kadisho. Le David, Barki Nashi, eti Yahuwah, we call Kravai, et Hashem Kadisho. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says, even in Psalm 139, Hebraically, the 14th verse, Psalm 139, verse 14, that reads, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hear, the opening verse of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel Kof Gamel, Lid David. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, we call it Ravai, et Shem Kadisho. These words of David, bless he who be, we be, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says, in Mizmor Kof Lamed Tet, Kof Lamed Tet, Psalm 139, Psalm CXXXIX, Hebraically the 14th verse, that reads, Odeka al ki noraota nifleiti niflaim ma'iseka wi nafshi yoda'atam meod. I will give thanks, Odeka, to the I, male. Odeka al upon ki for noraot nifleiti, for I am fearfully, dreadfully ki noraot nifleiti, wonderfully made. Niflai ma'iseka, wonderful. Niflaim, wonderfulnesses. Ma'iseka, the I, male work. Niflai ma'iseka, with nafshi yoda'at mod. And that, my soul, with and nafshi, and she, my psyche, my soul, with nafshi yoda'at, yoda'at, she knoweth. With nafshi yoda'at me'od, and she knoweth me'od, 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 very much, enough. She knoweth right well. Odeka al ki noraota nifleiti, niflaim ma'iseka, with nafshi yoda'at me'od. Rav Abdimi bar nechunya taught, some things are bad for the liver, but good for the windpipe. Some things are bad for the windpipe, but good for the liver. There are 10 things within a man, within their mind. The windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink, the gall for jealousy, the maw, when full, for sleep, the first stomach to grind the food, the spleen for laughter, the reins for counsel, and the heart for decision. There are 10 things within a man. The windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink. And here, midrash, note right here on today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel Kof Tamel, Psalm 103, here where it says, The lung for drink. The midrash note is to absorb liquids. This here was a, some say, a platonic idea, right? A platonic idea here, 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 just a note here in explaining the 10 things within a man. Now, also here, another additional note right here is that drink. What's interesting about the word drink in archaic, Ethiopic, and Amharic, as well as no doubt other Afro-Shemitic languages, drink metaphorically is another way of saying to smoke. So in ancient Afro-Shemitic languages such as Amharic, the idea, like with the Hebrew, to drink, also to smoke. So instead of saying one would smoke, they would actually be drinking, and whatever is burning, that there would be smoking. So it's interesting that here, within this commentary associated with Rav Avdimi Bar Nehunya, considering there are 10 things within the man, the windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink. Here the Midrash note says to absorb liquids, but here this reminds us of the archaic Ethiopic and Royal Amharic, the Afro-Shemitic, that to say to smoke, they would use the word to drink. So thus the connection with the lung for drink, the gall for jealousy, the maw, when full, for sleep, the first stomach. And here, 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 next Midrash note on Mizmor Kof Gamel, Kof Gimel, Psalm 103, the connection with the first stomach to grind food. Here, the first stomach sense. Human anatomy is discussed here. Quote, first stomach, end quote, presumably means the entrance to or the upper part of the stomach. So since human anatomy is being discussed here in the Midrash on Psalm 103, the first stomach presumably means the entrance to or the upper part of the stomach. The first stomach to grind the food, the spleen for laughter, the reins for counsel, the heart for decision. Therefore David offered praise, Isis, with the words, even with the words of Psalm 139, Hebraically at the 14th verse, here, 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 Mizmor Kof Lamed 8, I will praise thee, I, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul, she knoweth right well. O deka al ki, noraota nifleiti, niflai ma'iseka, wi nafshi yodat mod. Therefore, also, it is said, even here, 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 in the Aleph, the opening verse of today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Psalm 103, bless he who be who he be, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within I, bless his holy, his Isla name. Barki nashiyati Yahuwah, we call it Rabbi, et Shem Kadisho. In a different exposition of bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within I, bless his Isla, bless his holy name. Barki nafshiyati Yahuwah, we call it Rabbi, et Shem Kadisho. Rav Lewi, Levi, said the name of Rav Chama, a sculptor makes a statue. The sculptor dies, but his sculpture endures. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Holy One, blessed be he, it is not so. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, made man. And man and man dies, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Holy One, the set-apart one, the sanctified one, the Isla one, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, lives and endures. This neither the sculptor nor the silversmith can do. The silversmith casts an image, the silversmith dies. The casting endures. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, made man. And it is man who dies. It is HaKadosh, the Holy One, the Idol One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he who lives and endures forever and ever, for ever and ever. Another comment. A mortal king, a mortal melech, he eats, but an image of him does not eat. Not so, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, not so, the Holy One, the sanctified, the set-apart one, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he. His image, man eats, but he does not eat. As is said even in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, thou art the Lord, even thou, the I alone. Thou hast made the earth and all the things that are therein. And thou, the I, preservest them all. Ata hu Yahuwah levadeka. Ata osita et hashemayi shemeya hashemayi. We call us Ivaam haaretz. We call Asherah aleha hayamim. We call Asherah bahem. We ata mechayeya et kulam uatzeva hashemayim leka mishatachewi. Here, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, the fuller verse. Thou art he who he be, thou art Yahuwah, thou the I art, the I be Jehovah. Ata hu Yahuwah, ata the I male, speaking directly to he who he be, ata hu, he, huwah, he, ata hu Yahuwah, the I be he who he be, ata hu Yahuwah, levadeka, even the I alone. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens. Ata osita et hashemayi, shemei hashemayi, with all their hosts, we call tzivaam, the earth and all things that are there on haaretz, we call Asherah aleha, the earth and all things that are there on her haaretz, we call Asherah aleha, the seas and all that is in them, hayamima, we call Asherah bahem, and thou the eye preservest them all, we ata mechaye eta kulam, and thou preservest, givest life, life giver, preservest, givest life, we ata, and I mechaye, preservest, givest life, the life giver to them all, we ata mechaye eta kulam, and the host of the heaven worshipeth the I. Prostrates worship, bow down to the eye. U tzeva hashemayim leka mishatachwi. Hear, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Ata hu Yahuwah lebadeka. Ata asita et hashemayim, shemei hashemayim. We call al tzevaam. Ha reta, we call asher aleha. Hayamim, we call asher bahem. We ata mechaye ya et kulam, o tzeva hashemayim leka mishatachwi. And here, Midrash note here to the Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, is reference to the previous Midrash on Psalm 18, the 26th parak, the 26th section, refer to the Midrash on Psalm 18.26. Another comment, a sculptor makes a statue, but cannot make a soul or vital organs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, made a statue, man, and within him made a soul and vital organs. Therefore, David offered praise. David offered Isaac, saying, blessed be he who be who he be. Bless he, O my soul, and all that is within I, bless his holy, bless his set apart, bless his sanctified, his Ayla name. Barki nashi et Yahuwah, we call it Rabbi, et Shem Kadisho. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, O my soul, bless he who be who he be. Barki nashi et Yahuwah, speaking to she, Barki, bless, the command to bless, speaking to the soul, speaking to she, Barki na she, eti Yahuwah, bless he who he be. Rav, Yehoshua, ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi said, five times are the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," written here. Five times are the words, "Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah," written here. And five are the books of Moshe, Rabbeinu. Five are the books of Moses. "Bless he who be, we be, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Hear, hear, hear. Psalm 103, verse 1. "Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah wekolik rabai et shem kadisho." Bless he who be, we be, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hear, hear, hear. Today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Kof Gamel, Psalm 103, the bait verse, the second verse. "Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah ve'alatisha kachi kola gemulayo." Bless he who be, who he be, O my soul. "Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah," and forget not. "Ve'alatisha kachi," and forget not. "Ve'alatisha kachi kola gemulayo," and forget not. "Call all gemulayo." Gemulav, call the Gemulav, call Gemulayo, and forget not all his benefits. "Bless Jehovah, all ye, all y'all, his walks, his works. Bless Jehovah, O my soul." Hear, hear, hear. Today's psalm, the 22nd verse. "Bless Barku Yahuwah," speaking to y'all, speaking to you all. "Barku Yahuwah, call ma'isayo, all ye, all y'all, his works." Call ma'isayo, call ma'isav, call ma'isayo, in all places of his dominion. Be call mi'omota mema shalto. Bless he who be, who ye be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, et Yahuwah. And in Mizmor Kof Dalet, in Psalm 104, the Aleph verse, the first verse, "Bless Jehovah, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, Yahuwah Elohai. Gadalta meod. Bless he who be, we be, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, O Jehovah, O he who be, we be, my Elohim, Yahuwah Elohai, Hailiai, my power, he who be, we be, my power, Yahuwah Elohai, Gadalta meod, Gadalta, thou art very great, thou, the I, has shown thyself great, has shown the I self important, Gadalta meod. And in Psalm 104, the 35th verse, that reads, "Sinners, akers, shall cease out of the earth. Bless Jehovah, O my soul." Psalm Mizmor Kof Dalet, Psalm 104, verse 35, the fifth place where Barki Nafshi, bless he who be, who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. Hear, hear, hear. Verse 35. Yitamu chatayim. Yitamu chatayim. Make cease. Cause them to cease and desist. Yitamu chatayim. Min haaretz. Make akers, make sinners cease out of the earth. Yitamu chatayim, min haret, and make the wicked, the ratchet, be no more. O rishayim, oda einam. Bless Jehovah, bless he who be, who ye be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, hallelujah. According to Rav Yohanan, David saw five worlds. He saw the world within his mother's womb, his mother's matrix, his mother's womb. And he said, according to today's daily psalm, even the Aleph, the first verse, hear, 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 "Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy, his Isla, his set apart name. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, kol kravai et shem kadisho. He saw the world as he was being born, and he said, according to the next verse of today's psalm, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits in our infancy, in I and I infancy. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, we'alatisha kachi kola gemulayo. What gemulayo, gemulav, what gemula, what benefits in particular? To this, Rav Abahu answered, close to the heart, which is the seat of understanding, Ha'el, Ha'el, the power, the true good, the true God, set the breast. Here, 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 Midrash note, set the breast, as distinct from other mammals, whose mammae are located further down on the body. So here, 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 Rav Abahu, in answering the question of what benefits in particular, forget not all his benefits, what benefits in particular, Rav Abahu answered, close to the heart, that is the seat of understanding, Ha'el, Ha'el, Ha'elohim, the true good, the true God, set the breast. And here the Midrash note is as distinct from other mammals, whose mammae, or breasts, are located further down on the body. Lama zeh, why this, why, lama, so that the infant does not see his mother's private parts. But Rav Matena said, so that he does not take his nourishment from a place soiled with excrement or excretion. He saw the world as he went forth into the light of day and traveled here and there. And he said, even as the 22nd verse of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel Kof Gamel reads, even here, 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 Barku Yahuwah Kola Ma'isayo, Bekola Mikomota Mema Shalto, Barki Nafshi Et Yahuwah, bless, he said, in all places of his dominion, bless Jehovah, oh my soul. Bekol, in all, mikomot, bekol mikomot, in all places, memshalto, in all places of his dominion. Bekola mikomota memshalto, in all places of his dominion, bless Jehovah, he who be, who ye be, O my soul, barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. He saw the world as he was about to depart from the aretz, the earth, the earthly plane, and beholding the presence, and beholding the face, and beholding the presence, he said, bless Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, Ha'eliyah Elohai, my power, my true good, my true God, thou art very great. Thou showest the I self very great. Here, 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 Mizmor Kof Dalet, Psalm 104, the Aleph, the first verse that reads, Varki nafshi et Yahuwah, Yahuwah Elohai, Gadalta Mod. Bless Jehovah, my soul, Jehovah Elohai, Ha'eliyah, thou art very great. Gadalta Mod, thou hast shown thyself great. Thou hast bigged up the I self. Gadalta Meod. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Yahuwah Elohai. Gadalta Meod. He saw the Olam Haba, the world to come. And he said, even in the 35th verse of Mizmor Kof Dalet, in the 35th verse of Psalm 104, David, in seeing the Olam Haba, the world to come, he said, sinners, ukkas, shall cease out of the earth, and make the ratchet, the wicked, be no more. Bless he who be, who he be, O my psyche, O my soul, hallelujah. Yitam uchataim, min haaretz, u rishaim, od enam, parki nafshi eti Yahuwah,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God bless you. We find your peace are improvable. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day.
Yes, we got to bring out also when we say we use the translated sense of blessed, you know, the word blessed. Now, look at the etymology. We got to, you know, improve on this right here as we grow in grace and the knowledge. So we look at the word blessed, barakat. What does barakat mean? We get the root idea coming from the Ethiopic, barakata. Now, it's interesting we have barakata, which means to be durable, to stand up. Barakata, right, from the barak root, Ethiopically, to become plentiful, to become abundant, in the sense of like to wear and to last, to become sustainable in that sense, but to become abundant, the sense of increase is at the root of the word bless. Now, in the English, bless, blois, actually, if you look it up in the English, it has the root of bloodshed in the English. So we use the English, that's in KJV, but there's a higher inner standing, an inner sense. Just to share this right here, barakete, getting to the Ethiopic root, to become profuse, the sense of it to become more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. So the barakete, to be durable, to stand up, to be lastable, to be sustainable, to be plentiful, to become abundant, to become profuse, and to be more than enough. Now, we also have in the Ethiopic to bring out, we're going to continue on this, because we use the term, you know, baruch and bless, and we say the English bless, but there is a higher standing, a truer truth to it, because, you know, we talk about etymology and look up some words, etymology in the English. So, you know, we in a sense are kind of like in the world, not of the world. So, yes, we use that term, you know, when we come from the Hebrew or the world and heart, you know, barakhi nafshi, bless my, you know, oh, my soul, bless. What is this sense of bless? How can the soul bless Yahuwah, he who be who he be? So then we get to the Ethiopic root, the Afro-Shemitic root. We have abarekete. So first we went to barakete. Now we have abarekete at the root, the tricontinental bareke. We have to give as a gift, to present with, to make a present of, abarekete, to bless, to give as a gift. How do we bless, John? Offer a gift for who is higher in rank. So abarekete, Ethiopically, is an offering of a gift, the giving even to one who is higher in rank, giving a presence offering. Also, another sense of it is like offering, like a donation, offering a gift, giving as a reward. In this sense of the word, especially for a big name, especially for the name of names, for the Hashem, for HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. Offer a donation, an offering, giving as a reward, especially for a big name or for a celebrity or for one who is praised. So here, going to bring out the sense as we go on in the recordings and reasonings, that sense of it. So it says, bless his name, make his name durable, make his name plentiful, make it abundant, make it profuse, make it more than enough. Big him up. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, love this tune right here. It's by Eleni right here. It's called Blessed Ones. We are the ones who are plentiful, who have been made abundant by the grace and provision of the great provider, Yahuwah Eloheinu.
What's up for your point? You don't know it's Love Star Music. All right.
Are the abundant ones, more than enough. He has made us more than enough. He has made us sustainable. Yes, I, Baruch Hashem.
What's up for your point? You don't know it's Love Star Music. All right.
Yes, blessed, prospered, increased. Yes, I prosper his name. Yes, I. Kono Kempo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shalom, shalom, yes I, fellows. Shavuot Tov, a good strong week. Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, glory be the King of Kings, yes I. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. Be well, my brothers and sisters. Counting the Omer, harvest is coming, yes I. Pray for more co-laborers to enter the vineyard, yes I. Hashem Yeshua, Amen.